Where do you see your career in 10 years? What are you doing now to help you get there? The sooner you start enhancing your skills, the sooner you'll be ready. That's why AARP has reskilling courses in a variety of categories like marketing and management to help your income live as long as you do.
That's right. AARP has a bevy of free skill building courses for you to choose from because the steps that you choose to take today will help you to love what you do in the future. And that's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/skills. In recent weeks, we've really focused on some ways that listeners can boost their income. So whether that's through starting your own side business and growing your network like Hala talked about, or when we talked with local realtor Alan about diving into investing in real estate, well, what better way to test the waters? While you are away, your home could also earn extra income.
That's right. Your empty space could be an Airbnb while you're traveling, because that's all you need to become an Airbnb host. It's a lot easier than you think, and you don't need to Airbnb your entire house. You could just host your extra spare room. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
I'm Matt.
And today we're talking T-Swift tourism, prime perks, and Apple breaks the bank.
Ooh, is Apple breaking Joel's bank? That's the big question. Are you finally surrendering and to the
Apple ecosystem?
Not the dark side, the light side, and getting yourself an iPhone? That's the question everybody wants to know.
Not yet. maybe someday.
Or maybe we're talking about the new Vision Pro.
When you start paying me more, maybe. Maybe I can afford it.
We actually will be talking about something else that Apple has been involved with. But this is our Friday Flight. We're going to talk about the top stories that we think you need to be paying attention to. And before we get to that, real quick, Joel. So was it last week we were talking about MoviePass, how it's risen from the ashes like the phoenix, and I was kind of hating on it a little bit because
even the $10 a month offering, which seems reasonable to me,
it seems reasonable, but just something about
you
the
just don't like movies.
Habitual attending of going to see a movie within a movie theater. I don't know, something about that kind of rubs me the wrong way. That being said, I'm not against all movies,
Although I just claimed. I would like to go see the Wes Anderson movie.
Which one?
Asteroid City. And I would also like to... I probably won't see him in theaters just because it's been a lot. I don't see movies in theaters.
I would go see... what is it? Oppenheimer. The new Nolan flick.
That looks good.
About the atomic bomb.
Also,
big screen kind of movies like that.
The new Scorsese one looks great, too.
Oh, my gosh. The Flowers... What's it called?
Killers of the Flower Moon, I think.
Yes. Yeah. That looks...
We're not movie critics. We don't even know what we're talking about. But
we see trailers, and those do look interesting. No, I wanted to mention, so AMC specifically, they've got this offering, and they're calling it Summer Movie Camp or something like that. But on Wednesdays, you can go and see a movie at select theaters, of course, obviously. It's not going to be some blanket thing. But at select theaters, you can go see movies for $3.
It's not bad.
That is a real deal, right?
You're the last time towards families and families with kids, right?
Yes. Yeah. And so... Like, who truly needs to go and see 30 movies in 1 month at a movie theater? Like, that just sounds unhealthy. But the ability to... I'm all about exposing my kids to different experiences and for them to learn things. And if they never remember having stepped foot in a movie theater, I feel like they're kind of missing out, right?
You'd be a bad dad at that point.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they're going to come for me. Yeah. And so I can totally get behind this. And at some point this summer, I could see our family going to take advantage of a $3 ticket in order to... watch a movie on the big screen.
Well, we always say the price matters. Like, what kind of value are you getting for it? And when you pay full price for a movie ticket, you're talking $15-16. If you're buying concessions, blah, 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 it gets expensive. But that's why I think the movie pass, three movie a month deal for people who like movies.
If you're really into it, I'm not going to hate.
But the $3 AMC summer movie camp is kind of cool too. So
yeah. Well, actually, so the first story we want to talk about, it does come down to the financial trade-offs between what you're experiencing in the form of entertainment and what you're willing to pay.
Oh, well, let's get to it.
Yeah.
So this is the T-Swift tourism thing. And basically, everybody knows that being flexible and getting creative can help you save money, right?
Of course.
The more flexible you can be, we talk about that with travel, like on your dates, on your destination, on where you're flying from, all that kind of stuff, the more you're going to be able to save. And so we have a suggestion that we have for all you Taylor Swift fans based on a piece we saw in Bloomberg. And basically, they were saying if you really want to see Taylor Swift perform and you can't afford tickets on the resale market, because let's be honest, who can? My friend in Colorado was saying that the nosebleed seats where you can't even see Taylor are going for like $1,200 a pop on resale. Nobody wants to sell those tickets. And so maybe the best way to go see Taylor without spending too much money is to fly to Argentina, because apparently tickets are only $150. And instead of seeing Taylor Swift in your hometown, maybe you buy a plane ticket, you get the much cheaper ticket to the concert, and you get a free trip to Argentina out of it, almost, essentially. Like, think of it like that. So, yeah, I don't know. Hop on a plane, eat the best steak of your life in a place like Buenos Aires and see Taylor there. It's just, it's an idea just floating it out there.
Well, something else you could try, check out the Twitter account, Eras Tour Resale. The journal, they profiled these three Swifties. Are they still calling themselves Swifties?
I think
these
so.
Days? Yeah. But they're trying to connect legit fans who are selling tickets to legit fans who want them. And these young ladies are helping others for free. I think it's pretty cool. So this actually makes me think of another recent story. I've only loosely followed the whole Messi signing, whatnot, right? Had I thought about it a little bit more, and had we been talking about it more, I think maybe both of us would have considered buying a ticket to the Atlanta versus Miami match.
Yeah, seriously.
Maybe prior to the fact that this was announced, but of course,
ticket prices went up.
Did not even, I don't know why.
10X overnight.
We're way behind the curve on this one.
I have slyly texted multiple people, hey, do you want a friend to go with you to the September 16th game?
And so what that means, well, the good news is Atlanta, I mean, they opened up the upper level and Ticketmaster was, you know, they were selling tickets. But even still, those tickets were for significantly more than what they would normally for. It's the balance between supply and demand. And I was talking with another friend recently, and he was calling it criminal, what it is, not only that Ticketmaster is charging, but what other folks are charging. But yeah, like, what are your thoughts on that? Is it supply and demand, or is it in fact criminal that folks are charging
them? We talked about that early on in the pandemic, kind of, right? And how some people were gouging for prices on certain things. And other grocery stores, they would rather run out of stuff than run the price up, because you don't want to long-term annoy customers. And that's a difficult needle to thread for a lot of businesses, right? But I do think it makes sense, like for the Benz right here in Atlanta, to open up those extra seats and charge more than you otherwise would. Otherwise, who's going to make the profit?
It's the scalpers.
Yeah.
Yes. So. Oh, and it's just a way to regulate the supply, because who doesn't want to go see the greatest soccer player of all time whip Atlanta's tail?
Yeah.
When they come to Atlanta. And so if it was available at the regular price, of course,
they'd be snagged.
The tickets are already gone, to be honest. But the fact is, I don't know. In my mind, it's the sign of a healthy market, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay. Speaking of healthy markets, let's talk about the new Apple Vision Pro announcement that happened this week.
Supply and demand. We'll see if they sell.
Yeah. There might be a lot of those like ski goggle looking things sitting on the shelves after a while, because $3,500 a pop is steep for this fancy new virtual reality sort of headwear. And I thought Ready Player One was a really good book, really good movie. I'm just not looking to untether myself from reality to that extent. So
they did lean more into the augmented reality side of it, the goggles or the Vision Pro, which I like. In my mind, that's the best case scenario use, is the ability to augment reality, not totally replace it with a virtual world.
So I'm not saying that like I don't see this technology going somewhere.
Yeah, I think it could go somewhere.
Yeah, I think. But my other thought is maybe you don't want to be the first person to adopt this thing for a couple reasons. One, the price is always higher with the first gen, right? More competition, more time, more iteration. You're going to get better technology, and you're going to get better pricing. Maybe a couple years down the road. So
yeah, like the instead of Vision Pro, how about like the Vision SE? Yeah. Whatever, like the discount line.
Exactly.
Vision Color. Right. Just get like the yellow version.
And you might still get, you know, 90% of the benefits, but at like 50% of the cost. We'll see where this product goes in the future. I do think future iterations could be big. But let's talk about another Apple offering, and that's their bank partnership with Goldman Sachs. We've talked about how it's kind of cool, right? There's a lot of people who are going to move over from their big banks just because, hey, if I can bank with Apple, I've already got that app on my phone and I already like everything Apple does. And they were paying a much healthier rate of interest at like 4.15%. But the Wall Street Journal published an article last Thursday detailing some of the issues that Apple Bank customers are experiencing. And really, when you think about it, one of the most egregious issues you could have with a bank is them not letting you have your money, right? Like, that's the number one rule of banking, is like, let me have my money when I need it. And I'm not sure if it's a glitch or if it's intentional, but Apple is making it difficult for people to transfer their money from their Apple account to another bank via ACH. They've been these transactions getting hung up in limbo for weeks on end, frustrating customers, understandably. And so just a warning to all you Apple Bank users or wannabe Apple Bank users.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when they first launched this product, I think we took a mostly positive take on it. You know, like, it's not necessarily groundbreaking, but chances are it will get a lot of folks to move their money away from the big banks who are paying next to nothing on your savings. But
0.01 to 4.15 is a nice swing.
Exactly, yeah. But of course, Apple, they need to make sure that they're treating their customers well, or specifically Goldman Sachs, because they are the actual bank that Apple has partnered with. They need to make sure that they are treating folks well. And I will say, like, I'll kind of defend Apple a little bit, because there's folks in the anti-money laundering industry or whatever, and they say that all these accounts, basically, they're new accounts, right? And when you open a new account, and then all of a sudden you're dumping a ton of money into that account, and you're also then trying to then push it to, you know, somewhere else, like an investment fund, that raises red flags, which then slows down the process, because you have to make sure that you're not truly trying to launder money, which is exactly what this looks like when you open a new account and dump 100 G's into this account, like one of the folks they profiled, who was using that money to purchase or to put towards a home, like as a down payment. And so I certainly...
You got to sympathize with that
person. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Like, this one guy, like, he had to borrow a ton of money from his mom because he didn't have access to his money for that down payment that he needed. And so I don't think it's necessarily malicious, but maybe Apple does tend to break things when they launch things, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they tend to disrupt industries. And I think in this case, they maybe should have prepared a little bit more. They should have prepared Goldman Sachs in particular to make sure that they had the support on hand to be able to resolve any of these issues. At the end of the day, I think that's kind of the crux of the issue.
Yeah, for sure. On the note, though, Matt, of account transfers from all banks, it might start to happen a whole lot more quickly, because there's something new called FedNow, which most people out there have probably never heard of. I just recently found out about this thing, and it's the Federal Reserve's new instant payment system, which is going to allow people to transfer funds from bank to bank almost instantaneously. So no more ACH being cleared in batches, taking multiple days, 3 business days for your money to get from one place to the other, kind of up in the air, in the ether for an extended period of time.
Feels so incredibly antiquated.
It does. And so now you hit transfer and boom, the money's going to be there where you transferred it to almost immediately. You know, even during evenings, weekends, holidays, when banks are closed, that kind of stuff. Some banks are already testing this out. And like, I deposited a check into my Discover account yesterday and the money was available almost immediately, same day, which is rare when you're depositing a check. So I feel like I'm seeing this happening.
Are they a part of the pilot program?
They must be, because I don't know. I haven't dug into the details, but there are some people testing it. So you, like me, you might have noticed reduced lag times already, which is great. But the big rollout is supposed to happen next month, where hundreds of banks and credit unions kind of get on board. And so, man, hopefully soon the future has come to all of our phones and all of our banking, because it's going to be really nice to not have to wait 4 days to see the money from a check deposit show up in your account, or to see money that you transfer from one institution to another finally hit the account that you're sending it to.
Totally. Yeah. Hopefully this will actually become something that's widely adopted, because it's not like an automatic thing, because the banks, it's up to the individual banks whether or not they adopt or decide to offer this product that the Fed is offering them. It's not something we can do directly, but hopefully all of our banks will say, this is something that people want.
I think it's going to be a competitive advantage if any bank that doesn't do it
is going
to be left in the dust.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's talk about how much of a ripoff food delivery apps are. Because the Washington Post, they just ran the numbers, and in all three of the major apps, the customer total without tip averaged about $6 more than an in-restaurant order. And again, this is before tip. So you're just, I mean, I know you're paying more for the service, you know, that's being provided here, but I hate the idea of paying more than you actually have to in order to get the food. And this is actually, I mean, this is just on small orders that are in the like the $20 to $30 range.
Yeah, so we're talking about like a 30% increase. Like $6 sounds small, but when you're talking about on an order of 20 bucks.
Just like when you hear like, oh, it's just a $1 fee, but right. It's like, well, how much of a service are you actually offering right. in annual percentage rate terms? That is massive.
If it's a $1 fee on a $7 order, that's a big deal.
Yeah. There was one restaurant owner who was interviewed for the story. He discussed just how difficult and costly it can be to sell food on the apps because they take such a big piece of the pie.
Pun intended or no?
Yeah. It was a pie shop. You know, by the way, Kate and I were on our date night the other night, and we've talked about the meat pies in Scotland. We've got there's a pie shop nearby.
We've got a multiple pie shop.
We haven't gone there to get the handheld savory meat pies.
And verdict?
Well, no, we didn't go there. Oh, we just drove past it. And I told her, I was like, why haven't Joel and I gone there? Because we love the ones we do like in Scotland. But that restaurant owner, he specifically said, if the delivery companies didn't exist, customers would go back to ordering straight from me over the phone or from my website, and I would actually be able to make money. And so we mentioned this because it's just in the best interest of not only your favorite restaurant, your favorite food spot, but it's also in the best interest of your own personal finances to go this route as
Cut
opposed
out these app middlemen, please.
Yes. Yep. I don't get it.
And if you just can't stand the stomach driving to pick up that food to save yourself money, at least opt for a credit card that gives you a discount for using those services. The best ones have like steep annual fees, ones that have like recurring benefits, but a couple of the no annual fee Chase cards offer 3 free months of like Dash Pass or something like that. So we're actually going to deep dive into the most unique credit card rewards next week on the show. But this is one of those things where use your credit card to help give you perks on that front. But ultimately, eating out less and then ordering takeout delivered to your door less is better for
exactly.
better for your money, better for your finances.
Yeah, like well, so Dash Pass specifically, that's the subscription model that DoorDash offers, where it's like if you pay a certain amount, you get unlimited deliveries,
yeah.
Which kind of sounds great, right? But also, for some folks, this might be their craft beer equivalent, so I don't want to hate. But this is also the most expensive way to feed yourself.
Yeah.
Ordering takeout.
Literally.
Constantly.
Yeah.
Like,
not just ordering takeout, because I went to pick up some Chinese takeout the other day. That's not terribly expensive, but if I were to have DoorDash delivered it, my $10 order would have turned into $16 probably.
Sure.
Right?
But,
so that's
well,
what
I'm,
makes
I'm
it
speaking
so
to the fact that ordering takeout, just, I mean, food prepared at restaurants, it is also
true.
Just so crazy expensive
yeah.
compared to making a turkey sandwich.
Yeah.
Like you're talking about like literally cents. Like you can count it by pennies as opposed to counting it by dollars.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of food, one economic indicator is pointing towards a slumping economy. We're going to call this the Costco meat indicator. It was discussed by the CFO of course, Costco, and it reveals that customers are starting to shift from more expensive meat cuts towards more affordable ones to cheaper ones. And so what that means is that instead of beef, they're noticing that their customers are trending towards chicken or pork. Even canned tuna. And so the reason he mentioned this is because they saw this same trend prior to recessions that we've had in the past. And so it's like, oh, is this the canary in the coal mine?
The
who knows? We
yeah.
don't know. But trading down for cheaper cuts, like this is a tried and true way to save. It makes sense from a personal finance standpoint that when you have more income, when you've built up more wealth, that you're thinking, all right, I'm going to get it. Maybe we're going to get some more meat, or I'm going to get a nicer cut of meat instead of going with a choice cut. I'm going to get that prime cut.
Oh, you going fancy.
Yeah, but I mean, like, honestly, as a kid, I remember that when there wasn't enough money to go around, like, literally, we ate Spam. And I remember as a kid loving it. It was something I looked forward to.
You were always hoping for a recession as a child.
Honestly. But even now, or like when Kate and I got married, when we were newlyweds, we didn't have a whole lot of money. We
yeah.
rarely ate meat. But now as we've gotten older and built up some wealth, picking up some ribeyes from Costco, like
yeah.
that is something that you can do. So it makes sense to consider cutting back in one of the when it comes to your grocery bill, when it comes to your grocery budget. And one of the ways you can do that is limiting the amount of meat that you consume, but also even considering a substitute for maybe the pricier
yeah.
stuff.
No, I love smoking brisket, but I just didn't do it for a long time because briskets were $7 a pound. But more recently, briskets have been closer to $3.50 a pound at Costco. And I'm like, well, $3.50 a pound? Okay, well, this is a $35 brisket instead of an $80 brisket. And so I'll totally
yep.
put that on. But yeah, let price be your guide, because it should be. And at a certain price point, you should say, guess what? No more brisket or no more steak for me. And I'm going to switch to cheaper alternatives. And so we're not the only people who think like that. Americans, maybe not even intentionally, are thinking like that, but they're reacting to higher prices and they're downgrading kind of the meat products that they choose. And I think that's a smart move, but I also think maybe it's a good proactive move for frugal folks to to take part in.
Well, and I think it's good for us to talk about it too, because it just highlights the fact that there are changes that you can make. I think oftentimes we feel locked into a certain kind of lifestyle, or we feel that like, well, what are we going to do? Like, we don't do anything too extravagant, but in fact, there are these small tweaks that you can make in order to save more and have more money at the end of the month.
That's right. Yeah, we have more in our power, He-Man style, than we would like to think.
That's right.
Isn't that, what is He-Man's line? Isn't it like, you have the power?
I have the power.
He has the power.
Because he's got the sword or
but
whatever.
So do we. We all do. We're just like He-Man. All right, we've got more to get to on this episode, including new perks for Prime members and some great data on haggling and how far it can get you. We'll get to that and more right after this. Kachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics, and in other words, everything your body craves to feel your best. This is where Kachava really earns their 52,000-plus five-star reviews. It tastes amazing. It's creamy and smooth with just water, and it comes in five delicious flavors. You can choose from chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, and coconut acai. Kachava is offering How to Money listeners 10% off for a limited time. I've been using Kachava in breakfast smoothies in the morning recently. It's just so nice to pack in a bunch of nutrients early in the AM in a way that's satisfying and energizing. So if you want to optimize your breakfast, your workout shake, be sure to check out Kachava. Just go to kachava.com/howtomoney. That's spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's kachava.com/howtomoney.
When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. That's why you listen to this podcast. And if you're looking to upgrade your wallet, you need to turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. If you're paying for vacations with whatever card is in your wallet, you could be missing out on miles you didn't even know you were leaving on the table.
You can get a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade, lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions.
Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
I'm guessing that a lot of listeners are starting to solidify their summer travel plans. We always like to get the families together, Matt, for a week at the beach. Every single summer, we've already got that trip to St. Simons on the calendar. Pumped for that. But sometimes those vacations get expensive. So what better way to offset some of those costs than to have your home earning some money while you're away?
That's right. Why let it sit empty when it could be earning extra income? It's the financially smart thing to do. So think it through. Maybe you've got some extra space in your home, or maybe you have an entire house to host. Or maybe you're just going on vacation and your home is sitting empty. In every case, you can Airbnb it. You already have the space, so it won't be a huge adjustment.
I mean, the way I see it, if you're not using your space, you have two options. You can let it just sit there empty, or you do some optimizing and make some money off it. Really, if you think about it, you already have an Airbnb. You just need to start using it. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
All right, we are back from the break, and as everyone knows, after the break on our Friday flights is when we like to get to the ludicrous headline of the week.
You remember when we kind of used to do voices to introduce
the voices? I specifically remember doing some different Harry Potter voices.
You did.
And
you want to bring it back? You want to do a Dobby?
No, I think everyone's cringing a little bit. Or maybe that's just me. Which, by the way, did I tell you, we got through all the books.
Oh, good. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks, man.
We're finished, still on five, so.
We finished them, and then we kind of watched the movies in tandem. So we got halfway through. I looked it up where the first part two movie of book seven, where it was split.
Uh-huh.
And so we stopped at that point in the book, watched the part one movie, and then finished reading the book, and then watched part two, but the kids loved it.
Oh yeah, that's great.
It's kind of, it's bittersweet because it's past.
It's over now.
It's done. Yeah. We'll have to find another series to get to, but
Twilight.
Yes, we.
That's what I recommend. Just kidding.
We're definitely not going to do that. But the ludicrous headline of this week came from The Hill, a fairly straightforward website and a fairly straightforward headline as well. Americans owe $1 trillion in credit card debt. So, woohoo. All right, it's official. We've done it, folks. And
we've crossed the finish line.
Okay, so another potentially ludicrous part of this headline is the fact that the Fed actually hasn't said that we have hit $1 trillion, but other research, other studies have pointed to the fact. So I don't know. Is he actually jumping the gun a little bit? Who knows? But we are basically there. And of course, this is bad news, especially considering that the average interest rate on credit cards is nearing 24%. It's the highest that it's been since we were wee ones, since we were little babies back in the 80s. Yeah. The typical American household now has five figures in debt, about $10,000 in credit card debt lingering around. And so if you're one of these folks, please check out our article up on the website on creating a debt payoff plan. We want you to proactively approach any debt that you might have in your life, because there's nothing wrong with using credit cards if overspending and consuming on, you know, with credit cards, if that's never been a problem for you.
Yeah, if you always pay your balance off on time, yes, and your full, credit cards can be great for your finances.
But if you are not using them properly, if you're using credit cards the wrong way and maintaining a balance and paying interest, this is like trying to walk up an escalator that's going down. You are using that force. That force is being used against you as opposed to being on the receiving end of interest.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see that overall headline number of $1 trillion in debt, credit card debt overall nationwide, go down. But more than anything,
and it might.
Yeah.
There's a chance that it might. Maybe. I mean, we've seen that happen in the past.
But I'd love more than anything for How to Money listeners to see just their balance is taken out, right? Mm-hmm. And you are a small pebble in a giant pond or a giant ocean, but a bunch of pebbles, man, if at some point makes a difference, right?
That's right.
Right? That's what I tell myself.
Absolutely does.
All right, let's talk about Amazon Prime for a second.
What we do matters, right, Joel?
Right. Well, and even if it doesn't...
Looming existential crisis.
Even if it doesn't impact the overall headline number, it impacts your life significantly,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
And that's what matters. So let's talk about Amazon Prime for a second. The perks keep getting better. New reports surfaced this week that Amazon might be working out a deal to get free cell phone service soon for all Amazon Prime subscribers. It might be something like $10 a month, but other reports are saying, no, they might just literally offer free cell phone service to all Prime subs. And that, of course, would radically change the value proposition of the annual fee that they charge, which is $139. Is it actually going to happen? We don't know. These are like early reports, but
definitely keep an eye on it.
Yeah, for sure.
That's huge.
Because, I mean, think Mint Mobile is cheap, but it's $180 a year, right?
So not free.
Yeah, if you're getting, even if it's a lesser phone service, but it's included with Prime, that would be pretty sweet. But Prime members also just got access to another perk, something called One Medical, includes the benefit of unlimited teledoc visits for $144 for the first year.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, not bad, right? And like, Matt, you and I, we've already got this for free as a part of our MediShare plan that we subscribe to. But it's just another way that Amazon is trying to make Prime a stickier product. They keep ramping up benefits, and that's not a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. But now, as always, it's just always a great time to reassess the value proposition of your Prime membership. Similar to like what we're talking about with credit cards, does having Prime cause you to spend too much? Do you just randomly buy stuff on Amazon because you can? It just because, ooh, it's free shipping. Well, then you might want to reconsider. And then think about, are you actually watching Prime Video, listening to Prime Music, or reading the free books that Prime has to offer? And if not, if you're not taking full advantage, or you find yourself going down the slippery slope of spending more than you like because, oh, I'll just buy it on Prime, then you might want to ditch it. You probably do want to ditch it if it's costing you more money than you like, at least until that free cell phone service becomes a reality, because that might change the value proposition again.
Yeah, and by the way, telehealth is not just for us humans.
Not just for muggles.
Walmart, they announced last week that they are going to make vet telehealth available for Walmart Plus members. Veterinary health, not like veterans. And this is Walmart's equivalent of Amazon Prime. And they're going to be offering this through a service called POP, P-A-W-P. So that's pretty cool. When the typical wellness visits for like taking your cat or dog in is like can be upwards of $250, I think this could be certainly something worth considering.
Yeah.
And by the way, too, like back when we had a dog, we would take advantage of this low-cost vaccine clinic that would pop up at our local church there in the neighborhood. And we would get rabies, like kennel cough stuff. They would like squirt in their nose.
I love getting rabies, man.
Like all the different vaccines that you can get for your pet. And so search low-cost dog vaccines or something like that in your area. And there are different organizations that provide that. You don't necessarily have to go into the fancy vet to get those services. I think you can probably, you're going to get more personalized care, I'm sure, if you go in and you've got a favorite local vet. But if you're looking to, if you're looking for a deal, this is certainly a way of going about it.
Well, and clearly it's not going to upend traditional veterinary clinics.
Right.
Like we had to take ours in for some legit things the other day. And one of our kitties has a little tumor. They think it's benign, but it's, and
that's a part of owning a pet.
It's part of owning a pet. And so they wouldn't be able to diagnose that. I don't think over a Zoom call, but I think it can be helpful. It's kind of a nice perk. And so if you're like, I think I would do this three times a month, then you might want to join Walmart Plus, because it's going to be like those additional perks can really make a service that you were otherwise on the fence about really well worth it.
That's right. Yeah. We're always looking for deals. So we're talking about haggling here, right? Why not at least ask and see if you can get the item you want for less money? Of course, frugality is not going to solve all your problems. We talked about this on a recent episode. But recent numbers from Consumer Reports shows that haggling, it actually works. But only the folks who are asking for a price reduction are going to be the ones who actually get that discount. According to that Consumer Reports research, only 23% of their readers asked for a discount when buying a mattress. But 60% of the people who asked for a discounted item ended up getting one, and the average savings was $245. And so I think it can be helpful to not only, I think it's helpful too to know like what markets or like maybe what kinds of stores are going to give you the best results, because there are some sectors, there's some industries or whatever where like it's just really
the price is the price.
Yeah, it's really frowned upon.
You're not going to call Amazon and get a discount on Amazon Prime unless you're actually like a student, and then they already offer that product.
Yeah, like if you go to a restaurant and sit down and are like, I'd like to order the margarita, but I see it's listed for $14. I was really only hoping to spend $11.
Well, if you said that, they might say, we have a lesser margarita we can sell you, but...
Do you think that maybe, or they would just look at you in like disbelief, because it's like, this is not something
just
that
you do.
Just go to
a cheaper restaurant next time, yeah.
Yes, but this isn't just an in-person tactic. Consumer Reports found that more folks actually found success online than in a physical store,
like,
as well.
Click that little chat
yes,
button.
Exactly.
Send an email before your purchase and ask. And it can't...
See if they can hook you up with a discount code.
Yeah. I mean, it can't hurt to ask. That's for sure. And Matt, you and I were all about asking for a discount. But I would say, too, there's a difference between asking and negotiating and browbeating. And so I think the margarita example you gave is probably more in that browbeating sort of thing. Can I get this for $8 when it's $15?
Feels a little uncouth.
Yeah, exactly. And one of my friends this week, he sent me a clip from the show Extreme Cheapskates, and they've got a bunch of like...
Oh, I didn't know that was
episodes
a show
on YouTube. It's a show, and it is zany. Like, there's some crazy stuff in there. The lengths that people will go to save money, like, you almost can't believe it. It's amazing these people exist. It gets really intense. But some people, like one guy... Literally, they're interviewing his ex-wife on the show, and she says, yeah, his cheapness, it made me leave him, essentially.
Is that like, why that she is the ex-wife now?
She said that was a huge part of it, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I can't even make this up. He had wrapped his house in plastic. He'd wrapped his car in plastic, largely because he thought that was going to increase the resale value if he didn't cause any wear and tear to these items.
What?
Yeah. He washed his clothes in the hot tub, and he washed himself in the hot tub because it's cheaper to do that than it is to actually take showers or to run the wash.
Oh, my gosh.
And he's like washing by hand with soap. It's crazy. So
that's nuts.
If you want to go down a rabbit hole of money saving insanity that Matt and I do not subscribe to, check out Extreme Cheapskates on YouTube. But I think, yeah, ask if you can get a better deal. That's fine. Know what other retailers are selling similar items for, so that you're not asking for something outrageous or uncouth.
Be armed with information. That's always that's a huge step towards actually getting a deal.
And sometimes you can literally just ask for a better price. Hey, can you give me 10% off on this and see what people say? Also, the key is to be willing to walk away if you don't get the deal you're looking for. If they're not able to offer you the discount or the price that you think is appropriate, it's okay to just like say, all right, good. It's not worth it to me at this price point then, or to go down the street and buy it elsewhere.
Yeah. But dude, let's talk about housing, because last week we talked about the downsides of home ownership. A lot of throwbacks within this Friday flight today. But it's a bigger mistake, owning a home, that is, for folks who move around a lot because of the transaction costs involved with buying and selling a home. And then that gets compounded for folks who aren't able to muster much of a down payment.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of folks who are finding themselves in this predicament, and cue the mortgage companies out there who are lessening down payment requirements. United Wholesale Mortgage and Rocket Mortgage, these are both some of the big players. They both are now allowing qualifying buyers to buy their dream home with only 1% of the sale price in hand.
Couldn't believe it when I saw it.
Yeah, these are the kind of offerings that make us sad, but these programs are being touted as making homeownership more affordable. And it's true that you won't have to save up as much cash to bring to the closing table, but that does not make the home that you're buying more affordable. We think this is a terrible idea because instead of bringing that money to the table, what you're doing, you're financing a larger, like your mortgage is going to be larger, basically.
Yeah.
You're financing a larger portion of the home purchase price, which means over the long term, you are paying more because you're paying interest on that money.
That's right.
This is
for every dollar you borrow, you're paying two over 30 years.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's like it's a wolf in sheep's clothing, right? Like it's a it's a fake solution. And ultimately, it's going to harm you as opposed to helping. It's like a.
It sure sounds nice.
It sounds nice. And yeah. In the short, it makes me
helpful.
Think
it's like now I can actually afford to buy the home because I don't have to save as much money.
Yeah.
But if you don't have to save up as much money,
that puts you in a worse position.
You didn't have to find the discipline, one, to do that. And you're in less. Yeah, you're in less of a healthy position financially to actually buy a home.
It makes me think of like if you have a bad skin rash and you're like, oh man, it really, really itches. And so you finally give in and you're just like, I'm going to scratch
it. Personal example?
No, I don't have any rashes right now. But you just like go to town on it. And what is that? It feels good in the moment, right? But you're making the rash worse. And instead, you need to get to the underlying cause. And the underlying cause, I think for a lot of these folks who can't put down more for a down payment on a home, the reason oftentimes is because they have other debts. They have other things that are standing in their way to achieve some of these longer term financial goals that you have. And so
And part of it too is how much housing costs have risen. And
sure, yes.
To save up 20% is a heck of a lot more difficult now than it was 4 years ago.
Yeah, I'm not blaming people for the fact that the rash exists, but scratching it right now is not the issue. It's it makes me think of like a grease fire and thinking, oh yeah, let's throw some water on it, but it's just going
to
make it worse.
And just because someone says you're qualified to borrow a certain amount or that you only have to bring 1% to the table at closing doesn't mean it's a good idea. And it doesn't mean it's in your best financial interest. So these new products, we're not fans of them. But Matt, what about folks who already own a home, right? Because if they've owned a home for a few years now, they've seen big gains in equity. They feel happy. They're sitting pretty. And it's always tough to know what to do with wealth that's tied up in a home. But the right answer for most folks, though, is to do absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. especially as rates have risen quite a bit. It's just so much more costly to tap that equity right now. And it's one of those things that's great to have, but you have to take great care before you use it. And if you do opt to use some of those funds, the best use is to improve your home, adding value to that home. That's kind of what a home equity line or loan makes sense for.
It's like one of the few things that we're going to give you permission to do with that additional money.
Take a vacation with it buy yourself a new jet ski. But if you are redoing your bathroom or something like that, it can make sense to tap home equity funds for that purpose. But do it within reason still and have a plan to pay off any home equity that you take out, whether it's that line or loan, within a reasonable amount of time. And for us, reasonable means 2 to 3 years, maybe four on the outside. But if you're like, I'm going to take out this home equity loan, but it's going to be a 10-year one, that's too long, and you're going to be paying interest for far too long. And so we want you to have a timeline and a dedicated repayment plan if you tap those funds at all.
Yeah, that's right. Like when you take out that HELOC and you improve your home, typically you are increasing the value of your home. So like in the end, it can tend to be like a wash, right? Like it just nets out.
Not penny for penny, right?
No, and that's why you have to be reasonable, because you can't fool yourself into thinking that every dollar you spend on the house is going to lead to you being able to get a dollar more out of it when the time comes to sell. That never happens.
And unless you're doing the work yourself and you're really smart and savvy, typically you're going to lose money.
So you have to be realistic about the fact that you are doing this because you want to have a nicer bathroom.
Yeah.
I think the number one thing that you can do is get a new garage door.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like it typically returns the highest amount. And even still, it's only something like 75 cents on the dollar.
Oh, wow.
Everything else, you're not receiving nearly as much value when the time does come to sell on that improvement that you make. So you have to do it within reason. But dude, that's going to be it for this Friday flight. We hope everyone out there has a wonderful weekend. We'll see you back here on Monday. We've got an Ask How to Money episode lined up for you. And in the meantime, if you haven't left us a review yet over at Apple Podcasts or wherever it is that you listen to your podcast, we would greatly appreciate it. I think last I saw over at Apple, I think we almost have 3,000 reviews.
I think we're past that.
Oh, are we?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, okay. It's been a minute, maybe.
Well,
since
but if
that.
Yeah, anything you can
but
do.
But still, like, it helps.
Take 10 seconds. Yeah. Say something nice. It helps other people find out about the show. And Matt and I would appreciate it.
We always do. All right, man. That's going to be it for this one. Until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no-obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com. When it comes to your finances, go for the credit card that's always there for you. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night.
Yep, that means no more waiting for, quote, normal business hours just to get a hold of someone. We're talking real service from real people whenever you need it. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.